Okay. So, thank you.
Jeez, yeah, the prayer was a gift to you, wasn't it?
All right. So,
okay, let's do a midweek. So technically, just to give you an idea, midweek, for those of you new here, we have a couple services throughout the week. We have our Bible discussions, you know, that we do at someone's home, generally, you know, at the Oaks. You know, usually every Tuesday night we have dinner and a gathering. We have like a group discussion, you know, about a certain topic. We do two of those. We do one in Atwater and one at the Oaks. And the second, we do obviously our Sunday services, which is more kind of, you know, worship. You know, you've been to our services, so it's worship, good evangelistic message. But midweek is kind of like still that, but a little bit deeper. Just a little bit deeper, a little bit more, you know, slower pace and really mindful of what the scriptures are saying. So it's not just about a sermon or a preaching, but it's also to engage a little bit and maybe even have some discussion. Okay, so it's not necessarily everybody or a classroom where we're all raising our hands. Could be. Yeah, it depends. I mean, John's been a teacher for many, many years. He might want to do that. But generally, it's a little bit more engaging. I will have you guys kind of in a little group at some point. So you guys can discuss amongst each other. But that's kind of the way midweeks go. It's a little bit deeper content. But if you come to all of our, little meetings that we have, then you'll get a kind of a full range of instruction on the Bible. Yeah.
Why do we call it a midweek?
Oh yeah, cause it's the middle of the week. Good question. Good question. I love that question. Yes, it is a midweek service. So essentially, we just a little pick me up, you know, from Sunday back to Sunday again. You might need a little midweek pick me up. All right. So, just so you know, we've been already, for those of you new here today, we've been already on a journey. Okay. So you're just hopping in at a good spot too, though. We've been working on the pastoral epistles. Now, the pastoral epistles are essentially 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. And so the pastoral epistles are essentially Paul writing about leading and engaging the church and how the church should respond, how the church should be, how leaders should lead. If you want to be a leader, essentially, these are good books to research and dig into, because there's so much good information there for leadership. However, there's still really good things for just general, you know, Christianity, discipleship, things like that. So today, essentially what we're going to do is we're going to kind of go over the pastoral epistles as a whole. Now, John, actually a few months ago, it's been a little while, but John had a really good overview of those epistles. And you can see that the purpose is pastoral. So in other words, it's to prepare Timothy to care for the churches that Paul planted and or the ones he led. So there are four themes that kind of overarching themes that you'll see in these epistles, which is the life of an evangelist and minister, holy living, right? The work of an evangelist, opposing false teaching, controversies, and divisiveness. Now this is huge because there's a lot of false teaching, and it's still going on today, honestly, but there are still a lot of controversy, a lot of controversial things that take you away from the gospel. And then divisiveness, you know, disunity, splitting the family, so to speak. So there's a lot of that stuff that's going on at that time, and honestly, like I said, it's kind of still going on today. So we need to lean into the scriptures to see what to do with that kind of stuff, okay? And then, of course, raising up leaders in the church. All right, but, you know, that's just a big picture. That's like 10,000 foot view. All right. But we're going to kind of zoom in a little bit. All right. So we did 1 Timothy and, I have 5 pieces of mint chocolates.
What? Ooh. I already took one.
You did? Yeah. I had six actually. I did get another one, and I'll tell you why I got an extra one. I'll tell you later. All right. So some of you have been here before. So I have a little mint chocolate chip. I know Zane might want to answer him all because this is his favorite. Apparently his ice cream is his favorite. So we have 5 themes that we work through in 1 Timothy. One was sound doctrine. Anybody can answer what that was? What is sound doctrine? Anybody? Jaime.
Sound teaching teaching that is more so from the Bible rather than, you know, people have their own opinions. So.
Good, but how do we know it's sound doctrine? Okay, you sure? Hold on, I know you're gonna answer it. Anybody else? Anybody, how do we know sound doctrine is sound? Anybody?
Because Who was paying attention?
Yeah, Zayd.
It produces good fruit.
Good fruit, baby. Good fruit. That's how we know if doctrine is good. You might get all of these. So sound doctrine basically is, confronting false teaching. But how do you know something is good? How do you know what you believe is good? Well, it should produce good fruit. You know, it should produce good fruit in your life. So what is that? Well, we can talk about that later, but generally, you know, peace, love, joy, those kinds of things. So think about that. Sound worship. What was that? Anybody? Alvin?
Worshiping God with a whole heart.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I would say so. Anybody else? Yeah?
I remember you saying something about it's not only about playing instruments or singing, but actually living it out. With your heart and mind.
That was pretty close. So I would say lives that honor God. Worshiping, sound worship is lives that honor God. Pretty close. You know, I'm going to give you one, and then I'm going to give you one. Thank you. I only have two more, so I don't know. I felt very, I didn't want to reject you down for not getting a chocolate, so I figured I'd give it to you. Sound leadership. What was that? Anybody? Anybody, want to help, answer what sound leadership was? Anybody? That's a tough one, huh? John?
Two things. Entrust to reliable people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Living a holy life yourself.
Amen. Sound leadership is holy, trust your life to holy people and leading, you know what?
I already got one.
Oh, you already, perfect. But it's also, lives, that influence others. Godliness influence others. So these sound leaders would influence others into good fruit, right? Cause you can see it in their lives, right? Alright, sound living, anybody? Yeah?
Living up to worship music of God's words.
Okay, I like that answer. Living to God's worship music. Is that what you said? Okay, alright. I don't mind that. Anybody else? Oh yeah, go ahead. Oh yeah. I need to give you one, no. Go ahead. Yeah.
I was gonna say like living up to God's
standards. There's Sandy. Okay, we're gonna love, yeah. So there's a key word to sound living, and it starts with a G. Anybody?
Jesus.
That's a J. That's a J. Stephanie. Yes, godliness. Yeah. Okay, would you like to give it to somebody else? Anybody? Here you go. Okay. All right. And last one is sound relationships. What is that? Hey, Sandy. Alvin.
Godly relationships.
I mean, sure. Sure, yeah.
Fellowship.
Okay, yeah, fellowship. I mean, that is in there. But sound relationships are relationships that produce fruits in all these areas, right? All these areas, if you add it all up, will have sound relationships, right? Good friendships that lead you back to the gospel, right? Those are sound relationships, sound friendships. But thanks, bro. Here you go. Yeah. Oh, I already gave you one, man. So essentially, we're not going to use these themes in our next segment because these themes are a little bit different. First Timothy was more about building a healthy church, honestly. It was really about building a healthy church, but this is a little different, okay? 2 Timothy is going to be our focus. And there's something different about 2 Timothy that's pretty obvious once you start understanding the context. So this isn't another church manual, right? This isn't just Paul instructing Timothy on how to lead, but there's more to that. So before we read chapter 1, I kind of want to introduce the letter for you. And also, I knew that there'd be some new folks here today. So I wanted to also teach you guys on how to study the Bible. Yeah. Seems so basic, right?
Yeah.
I mean, just open the book and start reading. Okay, I guess. I guess that works, right? But maybe just a little, hey, we can do a little bit of application on how to study the Bible. And we'll use this application while we're in our midweek lesson. Sound good to you guys?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So how to study the Bible? Honestly, the best thing you can do is get context. Really. Because it's always good. I mean, you know, you can get the verse of the day. Most of you do. I do. Who does? Who here gets the verse of the day? I mean, I do. It's encouraging. Sometimes those words are really encouraging and timely. So, amen. Not taking away the verse of the day at all. However, if that's all you're doing in reading God's word, I think you're coming in a little short there. Okay?
A lot.
A lot short. according to John, yes. So you try to get some, maybe a little bit deeper in your understanding of what you're reading. Okay? Because by just getting a little bit deeper, you might discover more treasure, more fruit, something that you can apply or better understanding of what just a verse of the day would bring you. So a couple of things we'll ask today is who wrote it, right? When we start a book, hey, who wrote it, right? It seems simple, but we'll figure that out. Who were they writing to, right? Want to know that. Why did they write it? What was the purpose? Those three questions right there are super simple, and you can just apply it to any book and any verse of the day. When you read it, just go, hey, who wrote this? You know, who are they writing to? Why did they write it? Right? So we're going to kind of go into that. Now, when we go to the who wrote it, anybody want to answer that before I hit the next slide? Come on, man.
The apostles wrote.
Which one wrote 2 Timothy? Sorry.
Tim, right?
No, not Tim. That's to him. I would say that's to him. Anybody? Anybody? Just want to take a crack at it? Yeah. Paul, of course. Yeah. Paul. Paul wrote it. Okay. But here's the thing. It's not just any Paul. Okay. It's not just Paul and Acts 9 when he was a new convert. And, you know, when he was, a missionary, very zealous for God and willing to go anywhere, do anything. He still was, but to some degree, he was much older. Much older, a seasoned apostle and a seasoned disciple. I mean, seriously, when you wrote a letter in first grade, is that any different than you writing a letter now?
Yes.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. There's so much that Paul has experienced and that he went through. Okay. I mean, he spent decades following Christ, planting churches, making disciples, suffering for the gospel, and writing actually a lot of the New Testament. So he's been there, done that type of guy. Okay, so it's not just any Paul, right? It's Paul, but Paul in a different state of life. And on top of that, Paul was in prison when he wrote this epistle, right? He was writing from a prison in Rome. Now we're going to get into that a little bit more later. Because I'm going to let the scriptures kind of pull that out so that we can review it at that time. But just giving you some context. He was in Rome, he was in prison, and he was coming close, nearing the end of his life, and he knew it. Which is totally different. I mean, you've heard people say famous last words, right?
Yep.
What are some of them? Does anybody know any famous last words? I guess they're not so famous.
What's this?
What's this? Yeah. Go ahead, Alvin.
I would say, it is finished. Jesus said that on the cross.
Amen. Hey, bro.
Amen,
bro, my dude. Come on. Hey, I love it. That's a good one. You redeemed yourself today. You redeemed yourself, bro. Anybody else? Anybody want to crack at it? Well, let's just say this. You know, when somebody is on their deathbed and they have something to say, would you listen? Okay. Why would you listen? Yeah, go ahead.
I think, like, especially if I had a relationship with this person.
Yeah.
Say this was my friend or relative.
Yeah.
And I know that they love me.
Yeah.
There's something probably very important to tell me.
Yeah. Something very important. Okay. And so this is the beauty of 2 Timothy, because Paul is going to write the last letter he's going to write to Timothy. Okay. And this is likely Paul's last inspired letter, right? This is the last one. Maybe he wrote other letters. I don't know, but we don't have any record of that. Maybe. I mean, John? Just to confirm. Any last letters there? I don't know. I don't think so. Maybe. Maybe. But so this is important, right? He's writing his last letter. He's choosing who to write it to. He's really putting his heart out there. And he's writing to Timothy, right? I didn't want to have to ask that. Because we kind of know, right? We're in 2 Timothy.
Yep.
So who's Timothy? Who's he writing to? So Timothy is an evangelist and a leader of the Ephesian church, right? So Paul is Timothy's mentor for many years, for 15 plus years.
Wow.
Okay. Walking with him, suffering with him, watching him, you know, learning from him of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. So he's got a pretty tight relationship. I mean, does anybody have any friendships that are 15 years or more? You should have a few, right? Those are dear friendships, yeah. Right? That you've earned. I mean, those years didn't come easy, I'm sure. Maybe some did. Maybe some were super fun. I don't know. But there might have been some hard times. Maybe some things you had to go over, you know, some reconciliation that needed to happen. Who knows? But I'm sure there was some really tight closeness there between Timothy and Paul. So here's Paul. Now, just to kind of get that relationship and just see that, let's get into the Bible. Okay, you guys down? You guys ready? Yeah, let's get in the Bible. So let's go into look into Philippians 2, 19 to 22. I know we're not in 2 Timothy, but this is just to kind of get into the relationship. And if you don't have a Bible, I would say, bring one, baby, bring one. Okay? I wish I had more. But if not, you can use your phones. Your phone does have an app. You can download the app and just jump in there. Or just go on Google search. Easy. Okay, so we're in Philippians. I put the scripture there too. 19, verse 22. So here we go. You guys ready? Yeah, sure. All right, here we go. Ready? So I read, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interest, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope therefore to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I'm confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. Man, did you hear Paul's heart here? Okay, we're working on studying the Bible. How do you know there's something dear? How do you know the relationship? What's the relationship here as you read in this scripture? Go ahead.
Verse 20, it says, I have no one else like him.
Yeah. I mean, he worked with Barnabas, Silas, Titus, and yet he says, I have no one else like him. I'm sure he did. I mean, I'm sure he had some other pretty good disciples around. But man, he lifted him up. Anybody else? Yeah. Yeah? Ding, 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 ding. That's the verse I was kind of looking for. That relationship is key. Because to Paul, he had no children, right? So this, he's saying, hey, like a father, like a son is to a father, that's how Timothy is to him, to Paul. So Paul's relationship with Timothy suggests that this letter is more, way more personal than just writing to a leader, like a memo. Okay, hey, let me help you lead the church. Oh, you need some advice? Like a friend that's helpful, but there's something more to this. Okay? And that's what I want to take into this lesson today. All right, on 2 Timothy. That perspective of the relationship. Okay, so for the third point, why did he write it? I'm going to help you out with that one, because we haven't really read 2 Timothy yet. So I was thinking about what could be the purpose of this. And as I was sifting through it, honestly, this is, maybe John might have a different version, but I see this as, you know, the purpose of 2 Timothy is to encourage Timothy to remain faithful to Christ until the end. Now, this is key, though, because isn't the end coming to Paul soon?
Yeah.
It's coming soon. So he's trying to encourage Timothy, his son, to remain faithful to Christ until the very end. Yeah. But I will like to say this. Paul, like a father, wants to encourage his son. So this letter is more than just a letter to an apostle or from apostle to a minister, but it's from a father to a son. So when I read this, I think of that relationship. Because Paul didn't have any children, but he had a son, a spiritual one, that he truly had his heart out for. And that's God right there. God loves us. And we can see God's love in the way Paul writes to Timothy. Daughters too. Okay? So there's a relationship there, a deeper relationship that we can connect to because it's there, right? We all have fathers, maybe not the best, but you know, maybe you have a better relationship with our mother, I don't know. But there is a parent, you know, child relationship there, right? Okay, so we're gonna 10,000 foot view, bring it down. Okay, we're gonna bring it down a little bit more. All right, and we're gonna kind of work on some themes. So since remaining faithful is a theme, I figure, hey, why not continue with that theme? So we have four chapters of Timothy. Essentially, you know, it's all about the way I see it. Hey, we're gonna answer that question. How does Paul encourage Timothy to remain faithful till the end? Right? Because there's some hardship. There's some fear. There's some suffering. There's a world that's challenging to get through. So how does he do it? How are we going to, I don't know. We're going to find out. Okay. We're going to find out. And then we ain't going to do this all today. We'll do some chapter one. Hopefully maybe all, I don't know. Maybe some, but you got to come back next week. Okay. And figure out the other parts. Okay. We got to really find out. So maybe 4 weeks. I don't know. Maybe five. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. Okay. You guys with me?
Yeah.
All right. Love it. Okay, so for this, to take John's lead here, the theme passage, I was thinking about a theme passage. What would be a theme passage for this entire book? And I'm going to share with you, we haven't read it yet, but because we're going to go little by little. But if I was thinking of a theme passage, it actually is from chapter 1. And in chapter 1, I figured, you know what? This would be a great theme passage. Verse 13 and 14. Okay, now I'm going to read it. You can just look at the screen. It says, what you heard from me, Paul speaking, keep as the pattern of sound teaching, right, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. I'm telling you right now, if I was just to see this, if Paul only had a little note, like a little index card, because that's all he can write, I would think he would write, my beloved son. Insert the scripture. That's really what he would write. Keep the faith, right? Remember the sound teaching. Remember those 15 years. You remember what I showed you, right? With faith, loving Christ, guard it. Guard the gospel, right? So we're going to explore this even more. But this is kind of the theme of like how 2 Timothy is going to go. Week to week. All right. So, the last thing I want to mention is from this theme, this purpose, 2 Timothy is to encourage Timothy. You know what? I'll save that for later. We'll come back to that. All right. So let's get into some reading. You guys ready? Yeah. Finally, right?
Finally.
Let's get into it. Alright, so let's go to 2 Timothy 1, and we're gonna do verse 1 through 18. We're gonna read it all the way through, and then we're gonna break it down. And hopefully we'll have enough time to break it all down. We'll see. Okay? Alright, you guys ready?
Ready.
Okay, let's go. Okay, 2 Timothy 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers, recalling your tears. I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. What you heard from me, keep as a pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. You know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, included Phygellus and Hermogenes. May the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me. May the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. You know very well in how many ways he helped me in Ephesus. All right. So going back to the idea of knowing how to read your Bible. Okay. I'm going to put a clock on. I want you, if you have a notebook, great. Pen, great. If you don't, maybe your phone. I'm going to put, let's just say no more than 2 minutes, maybe just 1 minute. I want you to look over that passage yourself and write down anything that pops out, anything that may seem curious or interesting, maybe words that are being repeated, anything that just kind of just makes you curious. So let's go ahead and take a few moments and do that right now. So we've got about a minute. Let's go another 30 seconds. All right. So that's about a minute 30. I think that's enough. Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. I mean, honestly, you can do that for like 20 minutes, like literally just observe and just write and give it some time. I guarantee you the Holy Spirit will guide you and start revealing things for you. So after hearing that chapter and having a little bit of time to kind of observe, which is the first step of good Bible study, is to observe the text. What are some things you noticed? Some things you may have seen. And there's no wrong answer. Honestly, there's nothing here that I'm going to try to use or, yeah, just curious.
Well,
Yeah, go ahead, Aaron.
I like in verse 16 and 17 how Paul acknowledges Onesiphorus.
Yeah, Onesiphorus, I guess.
Onesiphorus.
Onesiphorus? Is that how you say it? Onesiphorus.
More in line with like the Greek. Onesiphorus. Yeah. It's really cool. It says that, you know, he was in chains that, you know, that individual, that person, I was searching for him. So like, it's, and like, why would he include that? Like,
yeah.
He wants to acknowledge like, wow, God.
Yeah.
May God have mercy.
Amen. Yeah. We're actually going to go, we're going to explore that verse later on. Yeah, thank you. That's a good observation. Anybody else? Anybody? Somebody new? Somebody hasn't even had a chance? Yeah, go ahead.
Verse 7, it says, for God has not given us a spirit of fearfulness, but one of power, love, and
sound. Boom. That is like by far the most popular scripture. That's like top 10. Top 10. I was waiting for somebody. Yes, that's a very encouraging scripture. Very powerful. And you know what's funny? On its own, very powerful. With some context, even more.
Yeah.
Even more. So we're going to explore that down the road. Anybody else? Thank you for sharing that. Great, great observation.
I bet you next. For me, I think verse 6, it says, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the name.
Mm-hmm.
I think just the fan into flame the gift of God, it's like, it's not just going to be given and then just, but it's like, I thought of the verse where like, you work up your salvation, like if you're not just stagnant.
Yeah.
You have to, you know,
ooh,
be with God, and then how it aligns with 14, it's like, guarded with the help of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You need God's help to have that.
Yeah.
Flame.
Yeah. Well, you're going to come up here and repeat what you said, because that's what I was going to say in a little bit.
Woo!
So good job. Very good. Good job, Stephanie. Two more. Yes, Josh.
In verse 14 and verse 18, it says, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you.
Yeah.
Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us.
Mm-hmm.
And as for verse 18, it says, may the Lord grant that you will find mercy from the Lord on that day. You know very well in how many ways he helped me in Ephesus.
Yeah, so how does that, what observation did you notice out of that?
It means that he's trying to help us out in many, many ways.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to dig into that, but yes, Onesiphorus was helping Paul in a very, I mean, really an amazing way. And I think we see that Paul was praying for him, right? Wanted to pray for him. Wanting to, for him to have mercy, which is curious. It's very curious. One more. Hi, Matt.
Oh, I was gonna go to verse 9. It says, you've been saved, you know, grace was given before the beginning of time.
Mm-hmm. Kind of,
you know, makes me wonder, like, it's always been given to us.
Right? Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yeah. There's a lot of great observations here. You want to sneak one in there, Zane? Oh, man. I got to let Alvin now.
I thought it was cool because he mentions Timothy's family, his mother.
Yeah.
And his grandmother.
Thank you. Yes.
Because of these faithful Jewish women, you know, they produced a man of faith.
Yeah. We had 3 points that I was looking for. Thank you. You were the last one. Okay. Alvin, you want to add? Yeah, Paul is an example of that. He's telling Timothy, what are you doing? He's praying night and day, right? So, boom, we hit some of these points. These are some good points, right? We have, remember the faith you received. Now, remember, the goal is to remain faithful, right? Remain faithful to the end, despite fear and suffering. There's some things here we're going to discover, but really, I mean, how do we do that? There's a pattern here. Right? Isn't it curious that Paul doesn't start with any commands? Right? He doesn't start with any commands. He's not telling Timothy what to do in regards to like how to lead a church. Right? He's just starting with a relationship. And then he goes into remember. You know, go back and think that's the start of your faith. Remember. Remember where your faith started. Right? And then we're going to fan that faith into flame. And I like what Stephanie said, because that's literally how we're going to explore what this says with, you know, it can die out a little bit, but, you know, you got to put a little bit of effort. Yeah. Oh. And then we got to guard it. Okay. We got to guard it. So there's some effort there for us, right? So I like that because it's a progression. It's a nice progression, right? Remember, fan into flame and then guard. So let's just kind of get started with, remember. Now, hopefully, we're not really going to be able to get through all of these, but we'll just pretty much get through this and we'll have a little discussion at the end. So let's just knock this one out right here because I really want to at least get into some really good, meat and potatoes here. We've been smelling a lot of good food. So let's really get into this. At least that. And next time we'll get through these right here. Okay. So let's go into, 2 Timothy, and I'm going to reread. Okay. But this time, we're gonna, now that you know about the idea of observation, I'm gonna read it a little bit slower and I want you to really think. I'm only gonna give you 30 seconds. So as I'm reading, you've already heard it, think about, you know, what stands out and maybe jot it down because I'm gonna ask you guys, okay? Alright, so here we go. Let's go, verse 1 through 5. Okay, ready? Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives also in you. Okay, let's take 30 seconds and just jot down anything that kind of pops out. Okay, we've got about 10 more seconds. All right. Okay, so, you know, what popped out for you guys? What stood out? I read it slowly. You had some time to think. Aaron? Yeah.
I think it shows that, you know, Paul didn't have a tainted mind. He was sincere, genuine, and pure.
Yeah.
When he was, you know,
yeah. God. Yeah. Yeah. Isn't it interesting that Paul's ancestors, he's talking about his ancestors,
the
right? The Israelites. But he's also talking about Timothy's ancestors.
Yes.
Do you notice that? The contrast there, the similarity there. Right? Because where did Timothy's faith begin? His ancestors. From Lois, his grandmother. You know, I like how, you know, I mean, let me step to the side here for a second. I like how, Paul, he didn't mention I don't know why, but he didn't mention grandfather or father. He mentioned grandmother.
I think it's because Timothy's father was a Greek.
But grandfather? I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Exactly. Maybe. Maybe not. I don't know. But the women in that family were strong. Faithful women. Had an impact on their children. That's mighty women right there. I'll tell you what. I'm so grateful. My faith came. I mean, my mom is a prayer warrior. She prays for me all the time. Even when I was, you know, living my BC days, She'd be praying for me. And I knew that. She'd go to church a lot and pray and pray and pray and pray. So I would say, you know, my faith actually came, you know, started from my mom. So I'm sure maybe many of you had family members, ancestors that had an impact on you and in your faith. So think about that. That's where our faith, that's what Paul's asking Timothy. Remember where it came from, how it came to you, right? So you were going to add an observation, Anthony?
Yeah, I was going to say what he said, another one. He said, it was the fifth verse, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois,
mm-hmm.
and in your mother
Eunice.
Mm-hmm.
And I am persuaded now lives in you also.
Yeah.
For me, it was just saying, like, the faith was just passed on.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, exactly what, you know, Aaron, yeah, you both saw the same observation. Great, that's a powerful observation. Okay, and you should see that. Because I think that's what Paul wanted Timothy to see. Yes, John?
One possibility is Timothy didn't really have a great male figure in his life, possibly.
Yeah.
And Paul is that.
Thank you. Bringing it back to the whole point of writing this letter. This is a father writing to his son. So, man, Paul adopted, yeah, thank you. Yeah, my dear son. He starts that letter saying who he is.
Me,
my
and Eunice, the three of us are talking to you about
that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen. Okay, anybody else? Yes.
The people who he was fellowship and doing the fellowship with, and basically how it started, but then how it kept going and growing. So,
what's great? What verse is that?
Three.
Oh yeah. Okay, I got you. Yeah, it continued. You know, it's so funny that being an Israelite, he says that. You know, I read a commentary, and the commentary was said something pretty powerful. I wish I had it with me, but. You know, Paul is saying his ancestors, which are the Israelites, right? The Old Testament and, you know, where he comes from. But then he's also now following Christ, which many Jews were like, no, that's not God. You know, that's not our Savior. But it's funny because he's saying, some commentator says when he says this, as my ancestors did, and by him now following Christ, it just links that they've always been following Christ. Christ has always been who they were following. It never was not Jesus.
Wow. Yeah.
Which I thought was pretty cool. I was like, wow, yeah, I was sort of curious how you said that. All right. I know we don't have a lot of time. Okay, we're kind of close to the end. But I do want to make some observations myself. Okay, here's some observations that I had. One in particular that I really like is that Paul begins with hope.
Yep.
Not with prison. I mean, it's easy. I mean, if you're in a death sentence for something unjust, what do you think you'd be doing when you're writing a letter?
Like, yo, it sucks here.
They did me wrong.
Let's look at what Paul says. Paul here says, In verse 1, after he says who he is, he says, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. He's about to die, y'all. What is this promised life that he's talking about?
A forever one.
Yes. This man has suffered so much. And we can go back in some of the scriptures and see he's been flogged, he's been shipwrecked, he's been deserted. Actually, we see that he's deserted in this chapter. He's been, I mean, is that the promised life?
No. Well, maybe.
Not what we want.
No. That is, that Christianity does not promise a cushy, nice, comfortable life. Because Paul didn't have it. He's not living for that. What's he living for? The promise of life that is in Jesus Christ. That is his hope. Okay? Even in prison. Now, some of us are obviously not in prison. We're not here. Maybe some of you may spend some time in prison. I mean, not long. I mean, I was in jail for a little bit, and if you were at the Sunday sermon, you would have heard that. But, you know, you, I don't expect you guys to be in prison. You guys should be doing great things in life, right? But we can be in some kind of self-made kind of confinement of our minds, you know, end up in situations that we're not happy in and lose hope. And that's, you don't need a prison for that. You can make your own prison. True that. But that's not how Paul begins. Paul remains hopeful even with death coming. Just about to, I mean, I don't know how much longer it took. But it was, he knew he was going to die. Okay. So a couple of more observations. In verse 2, Jess brought it up. He said, I forgot to mention that. That Paul's circumstance does not determine his perspective. Right. That was the last piece I want to share. But he does talk to him, hey, my dear son, married that father relationship. I love that. And his encouragement is filling the opening. He's thankful. You know, when you read that, you're like, this guy, man, he just brings a smile. I mean, imagine Timothy getting a letter from his dad, his spiritual father, and it's just like, I mean, he knows he's in prison, but man, this is so much encouragement, so much positivity, so much life. That's an amazing thing to notice, because I don't know if I would be like that. It's easy to be negative. It's easy to be pessimistic. I think it takes work to be encouraging, you know, to be uplifting, to be inspiring, to be thankful even. And one thing I will last share before we get into a quick discussion is notice some of the words that he uses in verse 3 through 5, right? He uses words like remember, longing, tears, right? Joy, faith. I mean, this is way personal. Right? He says, some commentators say that when that, I underline in my Bible, is recalling your tears. I mean, the last time they were together, that was probably the last time they were together for real. You know? I mean, can you imagine? We have our phones, we can text, we can FaceTime now. Pretty cool. And it is encouraging. When I FaceTime my niece in Colombia, it's like, this is awesome. Wow. You know? But not here. If you said bye to somebody, it was bye. I may never see you again. I may never see you again. I hope this letter gets to you. I don't even know. You know? So can you imagine that relationship? Timothy, tearful. And he's recalling that emotion, that connection. I mean, this is a deep, deep letter. That's why I love it so much. Because I can see God's heart as a father. And I'm drawn to that. Big time. In my own Christianity, my own faith, to see God as my father is a huge, huge motivator. Huge drive for me. So, we're going to have to stop today for this. But I do have, I want to have a kind of like a quick discussion. I have questions. They're at the very end. I'm not going to pull them up because there's other questions that I don't want you to think about yet, but these are pretty easy questions to figure out. So maybe somebody next to you, or someone two or three, we'll spend a few moments. It's already 8:30. It won't be too long. We'll probably be out of here by 45. Hopefully that's okay. But let's answer this question: who helped shape your faith? Who helped shape your faith, and whose faith are you helping to shape? Okay. So who helped shape your faith? I know it's pretty fun to say. Whose faith have you helped to shape? It's fun to say. All right, so let's take a little moment and just go ahead and chat. You know, we'll take like maybe 5 minutes, and then we'll call it, pray, and we'll sing, actually, and then we'll be done. All right, let's take 5 minutes.
Shape your
Yes. It really is just one, but I mean, we're talking about Lois and Eunice, you know, ancestors. Oh, is there? What's up, bro? What's up? Good to see you guys. Isn't it fun to say? Yeah. Sorry. Sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. One more minute. One more minute. Yeah. 30 seconds. All right, everybody, let's start bringing it back. Let's start bringing it back. Start bringing it back. Okay. All right, so in closing, we have more to say about faithfulness, but from this section right here, our faithfulness to Christ begins by remembering the faith you received and the people God used, has used to shape it. Okay, so think about that. That's kind of where it starts, but Paul goes deeper than that, right? We got a fan into flame, right? Stephanie noticed, fan into flame, right? And then we got to guard that good deposit. And we're going to explore that a little bit more next week. Okay, so, but for now, thank you all for being here. We're going to pray one time, and then we got a song to sing because we love worship, right? We love worship. And then that's it. That's it for our night. Okay, sounds good. Yeah, all right. Can I get a volunteer? Who would like to pray? Anybody? Michael, go ahead, sir.